This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The uninsured rate has never, ever been lower. Healthcare costs are rising at the slowest rate in 50 years. And I've said, and I mean it, if anyone can put together a plan that is demonstrably better than the improvements we've made to our healthcare system that covers as many people at less cost, I will publicly support it.
6:43, let's shift gears here and talk a little bit about Obamacare, because this is stuff that will affect you more directly than even the big blow-up in news last night. Patrick Selvey is standing by, partner in a medical malpractice law firm, Selvey, Shostak, and Pritchard. Shostak and Pritchard. And what's the repeal, the potential repeal? Well, it's not going to be potential. It's going to happen. The repeal of Obamacare mean to you. Good morning, Mr. Selvey.
Good morning.
Thanks for getting up. I assume you're up at this hour anyway, aren't you?
Oh, I'm always up at this hour. You got that.
Yeah, all right. All right, so give me the nuts and bolts here. The repeal, the replace part is very unclear, but the repeal, we find out 30 million people are signed up for Obamacare. What does it mean? Are people going to lose their insurance right away, or do they need to stop worrying about that?
Well, you know, the merits of the Affordable Care Act are obviously something that is of great debate. I mean, you see the statistics that there are 20 million people or 30 million people that have coverage that didn't otherwise have coverage.
Right.
And so the question now is, when they repeal it, what's going to happen to those folks if they don't have a replacement? And so as a trial lawyer, as a person that represents victims of medical malpractice, one of the major concerns is not only whether or not folks are going to maintain their health insurance. I mean, everybody can agree that the ease with which and the cost at which we all have health insurance should be improved as best it can, if it can be improved. But in the event of a replacement here, the question is, are they going to erode victims' rights under the guise of it reducing health care costs? And that is something that I know that my clients and I think the public at large would have a very big problem with, and I hope become educated about, so that this doesn't happen.
The short term, though, there are protections legislatively. It's not like the bottom is going to drop out and suddenly these 30 million people have insurance today. They won't have it tomorrow. Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it all comes down to what legislation is passed with respect to the repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act. I think you have some folks on the Republican side of the aisle that have campaigned on and felt very strongly about repealing Obamacare. And now that they're being educated on the benefits of it, whether it's perfect or not is a whole different debate. But about the 20 to 30 million, whatever the statistic actually is, of folks that have health insurance, they're now concerned that, well, if we just repeal this willy-nilly, so to speak, or just do that because we have these majorities, and we have a favorable, you know, we're not going to have a veto in the White House anymore, you know, then what's going to happen to us? That's not going to look, you know, we're going to have to own that. And so that's why I think they're proceeding more cautiously.
And Patrick,
at least it appears that way.
Is the whole other can of worms, too, is that once this starts to be, I guess, retrofitted, and people have to find out, they have to be alerted or notified that their coverage is changing or being canceled, do they not? That's a whole other facet of this.
And it all comes down to what legislation is passed. So I think they're realizing that it would be unwise and irresponsible to pass legislation that is just as simple as the Affordable Care Act is now repealed. Because then you do have that concern. And we saw Paul Ryan during a recent press conference use this term over and over again. We don't want to pull the rug out from under people. So hopefully they're working towards a solution that doesn't pull the rug out from under people and is, in fact, what in the clip you just played from last night's address by President Obama, that if there is something that can improve it, then we'll all get behind it. But let's think of it in those terms, as opposed to just something political, which is, you know, getting rid of the Affordable Care Act without some sort of meaningful replacement.
Let's talk briefly about your world, because everything comes down to cost. Is there any effort to say we can control cost of this by, for instance, getting into your world, putting caps on settlements and malpractice cases?
Yeah, you do hear that. And I think, candidly, I think that that is a specious argument. I think what you'll hear is that really at best, the Congressional Budget Office has suggested the potential for a 0.5% in the reduction of healthcare costs. That's pretty much the best that I've seen. And even that particular study has been criticized because it does not take into effect some of the systematic issues that come along with this. So let me give you an example. You have a study very recently that suggests that between 220 and 440,000 people die every year from medical errors. You have a study from the Department of Health and Human Services that people on Medicare alone, 180,000 people die every year. That's just people on Medicare. So you have medical malpractice as the third leading cause of death behind cancer and heart disease.
All right, well, let that sink in for a second. A 250,000 people a year, those aren't all cases that are prosecuted. Those are estimates of cases that maybe should be. Take me through that.
Absolutely. There have been other studies that suggest that somewhere around 9 or 10 to 1 is the ratio of medical errors compared to how many medical errors actually end up being lawsuits. So in other words, for every 10 medical errors, only one is brought to court. Filings across the country are down. Medical malpractice verdicts and settlements across the country are down when adjusted for inflation. And actually, insurance premiums for doctors are at their lowest level when you adjust for inflation since the early 80s. And when you adjust for the inflation in the medical industry, that is the costs that they charge us, it's the lowest in over 40 years. So to suggest that costs are affected by medical malpractice cases, that there's some cost-sharing aspect to it that is applied to the public at large, is really unfair, because at the end of the day, what you have are really strong evidence that medical malpractice, the ability of a patient who has been wronged to bring a lawsuit, is actually the only watchdog over the medical industry, and that it in fact improves healthcare. So really the focus in improving the cost should be focused on improving the healthcare that's delivered to people, as opposed to taking away the rights of people that actually have meritorious claims, which is what a lot of the suggested legislation on so-called tort reform is designed to do. It's designed to take away the rights of true victims. And I don't think anybody wants to see that happen. And for it to be attached to an amendment or a repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act, it would be very unfortunate.
Well, it sounds like it'd be mostly political, too, at that point. Last question, Andrew.
Patrick, a lot of talk centers around Medicaid when we talk about Obama. But for those who do pay a lot of money for their deductibles and whatnot, if Obamacare is replaced, not repealed, but will we see our premiums go down?
Yeah, and that is the question, because you see statistics cited that premiums have gone up because of the Affordable Care Act, and that perhaps some of the changes that can be made to improve the system will reduce those costs. I hope that type of solution is considered and ultimately passed. So if folks have health insurance and there's a way to increase the competitiveness of the health insurance industry to reduce our costs, that's great. But that's the solution we need without taking away patients' rights, because at the end of the day, the fact that typically Republicans and, for example, the the person who's been nominated to become Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, former Congressman Tom Price, I believe that these folks are really doing it for political persons, political reasons, Steve, as you said, because trial lawyers like myself are traditionally fundraisers for Democrats, and so they just want to undercut the fundraising, and that's not a good solution. That is not a solution.
It doesn't get to the answer of the problem at all.
No, it doesn't, and it doesn't help us as patients. Let's not forget, we're all patients. It's not all about cost. It's also about delivering good medical care.
Yeah, let's also make sure we state that the vast majority of doctors, by the widest possible margin, and nurses and healthcare officials go to work every day, do phenomenal jobs, but those who make a mistake need to be accountable for it, and it's a legitimate discussion.
No question. Let me leave you with one last statistic. Over 50% of medical malpractice is caused by less than 5% of the healthcare providers. So what you just said is absolutely right.
Right, and I think it needs to be stated again and again, too. Mr. Salvi, thanks for your time. Go to work.
Thank you so much. Have a great morning.
See ya. Patrick Salvi is the partner of a medical malpractice firm, a large one, a successful one here in town. I sat jury on a medical malpractice case. I mean, it's a very tough business.